ahead and get started.
Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Recorded live.
That's not annoying or anything.
Better than recorded dead.
Okay, so we have gathered a fine group of brilliant minds together tonight.
Where?
But then they left and these people showed up. It's Tim.
Hello.
Larry.
Hey there.
And who was the third person? John.
Hi there.
Sorry. Hey. And we've already established this brilliant mind. Okay. Can't even remember 5 seconds who's on the call. A topic which I think was Tim's idea, we'll blame him anyway, was spiritual attacks and how we respond to them. Is that about right?
Yeah, that was one of the basic ideas of this. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, it was kind of prompted by a lot of events that seem to be going on around the people who are involved, and I'm narrow viewing this, around the My Life Ministries forums and community. And, someone brought up the question, gee, doesn't this feel like a spiritual attack? Because we've had a lot of people who are suffering illness, grave illness, injury, loss of income, loss of livelihood. It just seems like there's an awful lot of very negative things happening to people. And so, like I said, someone asked, doesn't this feel like a spiritual attack? And I don't know that everybody necessarily agrees with it, but there was certainly a substantial, at least half, I would say, the people who responded goes, yeah, it really does feel like a spiritual attack. So we I thought it would be a good idea to talk about what is a spiritual attack? How can we tell a spiritual attack from what goes on in our everyday lives? And how should we respond as Christians to what we perceive to be a spiritual attack? So that's where that all really basically came from.
So what are the answers to those questions? Who's going to take on the first one?
A, 42, and all of the above. First of all, I guess I want to define something a little bit, and that is we have an awful lot of Christians running around today who, whenever anything negative happens, they immediately assume that it's the enemy involved and it's some kind of attack on them. And whenever anything great happens, they go, isn't God wonderful? And they're giving an awful lot of credit and or blame, where I think it doesn't necessarily belong. And, we see it in Christians like if you take Katrina, and there were a bunch of people running around when Hurricane Katrina hit. This is New Orleans being judged. God sent the hurricane. I don't necessarily buy into that view. I look at the earth, the people on it, and how the system that was set up originally. The original system was perfect. It was perfect. There was nothing wrong. We didn't have storms. We didn't have thorns. We didn't have a bunch of negative things around the earth today. Man sinned. We broke the system, and now we pay the consequences of those systems just in the way things don't work anymore. So, and if a storm happens, we don't blame God or the enemy and say this is an attack or this is righteous. This is judgment. We have to understand the system of the earth is broken. So we have storms, and as a result of sin, storms come. And it rains on the wicked and it rains on the just, I think is the old saying. And it's not an attack and it's not necessarily a spiritual thing. But there are things that we can define by pattern and by prayer and by understanding that are attacks. And I think part of that really does revolve around the what, the who, and the why. And in the case of, let's just take our little My Life Ministries community and say, if everything that we see that's happening to so many people, all these negative things, is an attack, why? What's the motivation behind it? Well, it's a Christian community of people supporting one another. Prayer. I mean, I've seen people who are monetarily helping other people out. I've seen, donations to people for things. This is a community of people who love God, who pray for one another. And if the Bible says that Satan roams the earth prowling like a hungry lion seeking whom he may desire, we have to understand he's not looking for the people he's already got. He's already got the world. So who is he looking for? He's looking for Christians. He's looking to take away from God what God has claimed. So we have to understand that sometimes there are attacks, and we have to pray through what is an attack. And, Jesus says that my sheep know me and they know my voice. So if we're in prayer and we can understand prayer that something going on is spiritual or not. And we have to kind of test every spirit, so to speak, to see where it comes from. Now, I feel like I've been talking for a long time. I want to shut up and let anyone else add to this.
Well, the Bible makes it very clear that, we're in a battle. The Bible talks about armor that we're supposed to put on, and you don't put armor on unless you're in a battle. The Bible talks about the gates of hell not prevailing against the church, so that means there's some kind of struggle going on there. But I think you're right. I think there are people. There are people out there who overemphasize the spiritual battle that we're in, and there's some people out there who are Christians who Christianity to them is, no more than a doctrine written on a piece of paper and fire insurance, and the rest of the spirituality of Christianity is non-existent to them. And I think somewhere in the middle, there's a balance. There's not a demon behind every corner that's causing problems. The devil, just because something bad happens to you doesn't mean it's, directly associated with sin in your life. I mean, we all have sin in our life, so there's no way to, anybody could say that, well, that happened because of sin in your life. You can say that to anyone to any Christian that's on the planet. So, it's like you said, the difficulty is discerning what truly is a spiritual attack and what is just, circumstances. What is just the natural repercussions of living in a fallen world and being a person, a Christian, who is constantly having to be have our minds washed by the water of the Word, and constantly have our lives lived out in a way that reflects Christ in us. And it's clear to me in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, that there is this struggle, there is this spiritual struggle, and whether we like it or not, it's going on, and whether we perceive it or not, it's going on. The greatest example is that I use is from the Old Testament with Daniel. There was something going on spiritually that he had no idea was going on until it was revealed to him. And that doesn't mean that every time we pray, there's an angel dispatched. I think that was a special circumstance. And I think in our lives, we need to determine when it's a special circumstance where there's actually, the enemy is actually coming against us. And like you said, it's hard to do. And the only way to learn how to do that is to look at Scripture and look at examples when it happened and seek wise counsel from others. And I have to quiet a baby now, so I'll stop talking.
Well, one of the things that Tim was saying is the what, the who, and the why. And early on in this discussion, I was saying, well, it could be that My Life Ministries has wandered off track, or could be that we are doing something exactly right, and the devil wants us to take our minds off of our ministry and to distract us, because he can't really hurt us, because Jesus owns us, and we are Jesus's, but we can be distracted. And so regardless of whether we are under spiritual attack or under circumstances that distract us, we need to focus on the Lord. We need to pray for his health, his healing, and his blessing, and we need to focus on the ministry that we've been given to do. And it's by focusing on ministry that we are taking the battle to the enemy. And we don't need to know about what all is happening. We need to know what God has given us to do today that we can see and touch, that's on our heart to do, and that's what we need to focus on.
Oh, you know, Larry, that is just so fabulous. That is just, in my opinion, so dead on. Because the enemy, what is his major tool? It's deception and distraction. It is. And we're, you know, John's right. We are told that there's spiritual warfare going on. And we're told to put on our spiritual armor. Philippians is very clear about all that. Or did I have that right? Is it Ephesians?
Ephesians.
And so, I mean, we know there's a war. But God tells us, you know, put on your armor. Stand. And watch what I will do. It's not about our fighting the enemy. We aren't to fight the enemy. We cannot beat the enemy because he's already been defeated. If we go out there
right.
and start whooping and hollering and swinging our sword going, I defeat you, I'm going to fight you, devil, all we're doing is giving him power over us now. We're allowing him to attack us because he's already defeated. If we're just staying in the Lord's will, he's defeated. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, doing our ministry, keeping our eyes on Christ, he can try and throw distractions and problems and issues and circumstances at us all day long, and nothing will ultimately stick, and we will have the victory every time because it's already been bought and paid for on a cross, okay? We aren't fighting this fight. He's already fought it and won. Anytime we try to enter the fray, we're just giving him the ability to come in and attack us.
I remember when we were talking about I was in seminary and we were talking about the armor of God and how the devil attacks us and how we're supposed to use the armor of God. The teacher who was talking about this, and you may want to use this illustration, Tim, with your youth. The teacher was teaching us, went and got a big pot from the kitchen and stuck it on my head. And
will you
come now listen,
do it to you?
Hold on, and started throwing pennies at it. And, you know, every time, you know, she'd say, oh, you know, you just sinned, you're not saved. Bam, and she'd throw a penny at it. You know, and she'd keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And she said, do you hear all that? I said, yeah, it's loud. And she said, exactly. You know, the attacks, they're going to come loud, and it's going to seem like everything around you is just falling apart, but nothing is hitting you. None of these fiery darts can touch you. It's going to sound loud. It's going to seem like, you know, your world is coming in on you, but, you know, God got you in his hands. And no matter how loud or how harsh the attack gets, the victory's already been won. And Paul, you know, had a great picture of it. You know, he said, you know, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So, you know, whatever happens, I win.
Yeah.
And it's liberating, you know, because when someone goes to war physically, generally they're concerned about two things. Am I going to get out of this alive? And if I do get out of it alive, am I going to be on the winning side? And we don't have to worry about that because, you know, we've been given life eternal in Christ and we're already on the winning side. The battle's been fought. The victory is ours. And so there's really, you know, it's just like Exactly, just like Larry said, you know, all this is just smoke and mirrors from the enemy, and he's just trying to deceive us, to distract us, to misdirect us. And when we really take the time to just find a quiet place and get on our knees and, you know, do that spiritual warfare, you know, which is prayer, and just praying and reading the Word of God, speaking the Word of God over a situation that we're in. I think what happens is we as Christians, we become built up, and suddenly the situation that we're in, the circumstance that we're in, just becomes so minuscule that our focus is now taken off of the situation and the circumstances and brought back to Christ where it belongs. And I really think that's where the spiritual battle is. It's, what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the problem, or are we focusing on the answer, which is Jesus?
If I can interject one more time here, then I will shut up for a few minutes, I swear. It's the Peter story. Jesus is out on the water in the storm. The storm is raging, and he's standing out in the water. And Peter's in the boat, and he goes, "Lord, I want to come to you." And Jesus says, "Well, get out of the boat. Come to me." I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And so Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking across the water to Jesus, and his eyes are on Jesus as he's walking. But the storm is raging. The seas are, you know, whipping. The wind is blowing. And the circumstances around him make him take his eyes off Jesus and look around, and he immediately begins to sink. And Jesus had, you know, walked up to him and grabbed him and pulled him back up out of the water. So it's what's going on around us. It's a perfect example. As long as we're keeping our eyes on God, we will be able to do whatever we need to do to get through whatever circumstances might be raging around us. It's the distractions, it's the circumstances, it's the things that we think are, you know, overwhelming and huge and so much bigger than us that kind of take our eyes from what we should be focusing on. And I think that's why that story is in the Bible. It's just the perfect example of that.
The other thing to keep in mind is that it's not just us against the devil. We are in community. God has put us together in a community, in multiple communities, but ultimately the church as the universal community that we're in. And it's not, we're not by ourselves. We are going forward with other Christians in mission. When Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent them out two by two. When we are in the church, in our local church, when we're worshiping, when we are engaged in mission through our church, when we're engaged in the various missions that we are undertaking through My Life Ministries, we are working with other Christians. And so it's not just us individually being attacked. It's us corporately being attacked. It's us corporately that need to focus on mission, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Yeah, that's great.
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. Okay, Brad, your turn to talk.
Yep.
Well, like I've said, I come at this from a sort of a naive standpoint. I know the Bible says, "Do be innocent, be not naive," but I've never really given it a lot of thought. I focus on Jesus and focus on, you know, the things that he has before me, but this is my first experience. I mean, I'm sure I've been under attack before, but like I say, as long as I'm innocent and keep my eyes on the right thing, then I feel like I was doing the right thing. But this is the first circumstance I've had where I'm in a corporate group like this that is, whether it's coming under attack or not, we're speculating, but I mean, I definitely think that there was a lot of things that were trying to distract us in a short period of time and pull us away from each other and each other's needs. And I felt like we really rallied in that and leaned on each other and handled those different problems. I feel like the Lord strengthened all of us and blessed all of us. And we for the most part, kept our eyes on him through this. But this is my first experience going through that, so I'm really enjoying what you guys are saying. I haven't given it a lot of thought or developed a doctrine or, you know, ideas about it other than just kind of learning. So
I would say for a lot of mainstream Christians, Brad, you're definitely not in the minority. This is not something that a lot of churches teach. Spiritual
right.
warfare is not something that, you know, I mean, there are a lot of churches that would just kind of sweep that under the rug. And I'm not trying to attack anybody, so I'm not going to mention denominations or anything like that. But there are just a lot of churches out there that want to focus on God is love, do good, you know, and God will bless you, give your money, da-da-da. But they don't get into anything this, you know, I mean, a lot of people think this is way out. And there are going to be people listening to this podcast who I assume are going to be listening to us going, what a bunch of wackos. I'm okay with that. But the truth is that there is more to, I mean, the spiritual, that the physical world is a reflection, be it through a dark glassly, is a dark glassly. Did I say that? Really? A glass
darkly?
A glass darkly of the spiritual realm. The physical realm is ruled by the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm has priority over the physical. And, you know, the Bible's, in my opinion, the Bible's very clear on these topics. There is a spiritual realm. There is a battle going on. And, you know, we should be innocent, but not naive. And, I think we need to talk about this more openly and bring people into understanding. And I will not get dogmatic on any of these points, to the exclusion of anybody's thoughts or ideas. I don't understand it all, but I do my best to, and I think everybody should, at some level, try and understand what's going on beyond what they can see.
Beyond what?
Beyond what they can see in the physical. Beyond what's, you know, beyond your day-to-day existence and your MTV and your job and, you know, what car you're going to drive next year. There's so much more out there beyond what we can see. It affects us day to day. We need to understand it. We need to understand, you know, as a consequence of that, we need to understand what our authority in these things are, because Jesus has already won this battle for us. So we need to understand who we are and what we are in Christ so that we can understand how to stand against the attacks that come, or how to even discern an attack from, you know, just the way the world works because it's broken now.
Yeah, you know what I think so commonly happens is, you know, people, especially, maybe not, probably Christians are more guilty of this than non-Christians. But, you know, they read a book by, you know, someone like Frank Peretti, you know, This Present Darkness or Piercing the Darkness.
Good stuff.
Or it's a good book. It's a very good book. But they take what's in that book and apply it to everyday life and now take this idea that every single thing you do just about is a spiritual battle. Everything that happens, you know, is happening because there's, you know, a demon affecting it or whatever the case may be. And I think that when it comes to talking about spiritual attacks and spiritual warfare, we need to be careful not to read between the lines of the Bible. We need to acknowledge that yes, there's a spiritual realm, and you know Jesus said it himself: those that must worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we know that because of that, we have to be on alert, if you will, and we need to be able to spiritually discern what's going on. But on the other hand, you know, it's like I said, Christians read a book and they kind of latch onto it, and I don't know what Frank Peretti's doctrinal stand on anything is, but he wrote a book of fiction. And people think that because he's a Christian, that then this must be, you know, it's a little lower than the Bible because it came from a Christian, and so there must be some doctrine here that can be associated with, you know, same thing with the Tim, you know, the Left Behind books, and you know, the world and other Christians kind of get an impression of those of us who subscribe to, you know, spiritual warfare and life has a spiritual battle. They think that we think like a novel, you know, like all these weird things are going on all the time. And, it's, you know, there's a balance. There's a balance. The Christian life is a balanced life. It's not to one extreme or the other. And we have to find that balance, and each one of us needs to work out our own salvation. And like you said, not be dogmatic about what we believe, but also be willing to be teachable about what we believe and be corrected.
Amen.
Well, in this particular incident, we've so far we've really been talking on generalities. In this particular incident, it probably came to an end about a week or so ago, but there's still lingering issues. Gracie's still dealing with her dad. Jester Hawk's still at home, but the attack seemed to be focused about, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Really heavily, yes.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michigan Charlie, Jester Hawk,
right.
Gracie. There was a lot of things, yeah. And a lot of things going on around it, too, not just those main players, but there were a lot of little things going on around it. People who were getting offended by things that, you know, taking offense at stuff that, you know, really was meant totally innocently, and feelings being hurt. And, I mean, it was just so many different issues all happening, kind of swirling around at the same time.
So looking at that incident and that period of time, and let's assume for the moment that this was this was an incident, whether it was an attack or the Lord testing us or preparing us for something, or, you know, putting us through a little fiery trial to strengthen us for what's to come, whatever it might be. How did we respond? Did we respond properly? How could we respond better?
Well, it was a lot like the Old West when you circled the Conestoga wagons against an attack. it really was. It was absolutely beautiful to see. Everyone came together in prayer, and you know, there was a lot of support going on for one another. You know, whether it was prayer or monetary or physical, or, you know, I mean, so many different things. I know some people got to go lay hands on people. I know some people prayed, you know, corporately. I know that some people sent money to some people. I mean, there were so many different things happening. None of those things individually was, well, let me go at this a different direction. I think every single one of those things was directed by that person's leading of the Lord. And, you know, whether they just prayed through the situation or were able to go meet with somebody or to send some kind of support or to do something, each person prayed about the situation and then followed the leading thereof. And I think we responded very well. It was we all focused on, God, what are we supposed to do now? And we carried that out. And I think it is most important, and Larry said it early on, it's most important that we keep our eyes on the Lord and keep our eyes on the mission. And, you know, we are a community. It's one of the most amazing communities I've ever seen on the Internet. In the way that we love each other and support each other and raise each other up. And it's been to watch how this played out and to get to be a part of it in some small way was absolutely wonderful, because we did what I think was the right thing. We kept our focus on the Lord. We went to prayer. We went, you know, and then we followed the leading thereof. You know, I'm done. That's enough.
Larry, you're about to run out of time. Do you have some thoughts on this particular aspect of the subject?
Wow, we've been going for an hour already.
No. We've only been going for a half an hour. I was just thinking about how, even though this was a very confused and difficult time, it was not as confusing or difficult as some of the other periods we've gone through. That is to say, I think that even though there was some interpersonal confusion, we've been through worse, and we prayed through that as well. That was A, and B, we actually did, I think, continue to carry on with our own personal missions that we're using My Life Ministries as a kind of a home base for. I continued to do my weekly Bible study, and you all did your various podcasts, and it was interesting how so many of the podcasts were focused on support for those that were suffering, and so we were using these experiences as ways to proclaim the goodness of God. And that's the other thing, is that even if these were attacks, God can use those to build us up. And so it's not, is this an attack, or is God testing us, or is God using this to strengthen us? It's not an or. It could very well be an and. And so we don't need to worry about which category it is, because God's going to use everything that happens to us for good. And he's going to turn anything that the devil launches against us to good if we hold on to Jesus.
That's a very good point. I think as to the particular situations or the situation, I don't think anything more can really be said. I think that some people may believe that that it was an attack, and others may not. And I think, just like Larry said, that that's okay, because it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because God has brought us through it. He's continuing to bring us through it. And even in our own lives, with things that we don't share on the forums, God is continuing to bring us through that. And I think that it really helps to sharpen us. You know, it says in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. And the fact that we're able to share a scripture or just say, hey, I'm praying for you, even though we don't know what the circumstances may involve, it certainly helps. All, you know, every little thing helps. Being part of the body of Christ, being able to go to people in our church and ask for prayer, but also being able to go to, you know, let's be honest, for the most part, the people on the forums are perfect strangers. And the one thing, the couple things that we share in common is we all listen to the same podcast, and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And outside of that, there's really nothing that would have ever brought us together on this side of heaven. And I think that's one thing that really is unique about the community there, is that, you know, we don't really have squabbles, and for the most part, like you see on other forums with, you know, all out flame wars. And I think it's because there's so much prayer that goes on, that people understand that if I'm having a problem, I can ask someone to pray for me.
Yeah. And as we pray for each other, which has been, you know, I think, you know, we've given a lot of tools and a lot of defensive weapons in the Bible, and of course the Word of God being the offensive weapon in the list of armor. But as far as how to put it, but as far as just general preparedness, there's nothing like building those relationships through prayer. And I've always found this out a long time ago. If there's somebody that I didn't like or somebody I couldn't get along with, if I started praying for them and praying blessings on them, not praying for them to change and suddenly do what I want them to do, but pray blessings for them, then that grew a love in my heart for them. And I think the more that we pray for each other, the more the little squabbles and the little things that seem to crop up don't matter and then are pushed aside and easily forgotten.
Well, I've never seen a group so quick to apologize for stuff that, you know, there was no apology necessary for, you know. If someone states something a little strongly, they come back a little later and reread it. They go, you know, I stated that a little strongly, so if anyone's upset with that, I'm really sorry. I'm just trying to get this, you know, I'm trying to say this. Da, da, da. And it, you know, it's like everyone looks at them and goes, well, thanks, but you didn't need to do that. You know, we're concerned with each other because it is a community of Christians who love one another. And it's, to my knowledge, unique in any of the communities I've ever dealt with on the Internet.
Enough. We don't need to be boastful. I think that's the I'm starting to get
big. That's www.mylifeministries.org.
I mean, just glory to God on that. Because, and I think that is prayer from the leadership, from the shepherds as well. I think that I pray for the community, and in every situation. And I know that the other shepherds do too. I know Chaz does. So, I mean, that's just God bringing some people together that, for some reason, for His reasons, need to be together.
Hey, Brad, let me ask you: at any time when all these things were going on with the community, did you ever, one time, think about, let me just shut this thing down, and then we don't have to deal with it anymore?
No, not during this. Not during this latest attack. During this, when everybody was, there were all these problems, but they were external. They really weren't. I mean, there was short tempers, and there was, but there was also apologies that came right behind them. This last round was external things. You know, sicknesses and sicknesses of relatives and this kind of thing. So that never even crossed my mind this time, but it has crossed my mind through problems I've been through in the past, but not seriously, not in a way that I actually prayerfully considered it. It was always the devil going, why don't you just shut that thing down, you know, or it was always the fleshly side of me saying, you know, you don't need to deal with this anymore. Just tell them all to go away, you know. But it was immediately dismissed and immediate. It wasn't a prayerful consideration. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And looking back, you can say, well, you know, God had His hand in it all along, and everything did turn out okay. We didn't know how it was going to turn out, but it did turn out okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is true. Why did you ask that question, John?
Well, I was just curious, you know, I mean, because it seems to me like sometimes, you know, running a forum, you hear a lot from people about how much of a burden it is to run a forum, just because of the squabbles that typically go on. Not that, I mean, we don't really have that, but I'm thinking more along the lines of, you know, I didn't know I was going to be getting into this when I started this. You know, you often talk about how you really believe that this is a ministry that God has given you. And I think what happens sometimes is when people get involved in what God wants them to do, and they find out what God is calling them to do, and they get just a little taste of it, they get cold feet. Because, you know, this isn't what I signed up for, or I didn't realize this is what God wanted me to do. And it can be overwhelming sometimes, thinking, you know, I can't do this. And the answer to that is yes, you can't do it. You know, you right. you need God.
Oh yeah.
And I was just wondering.
No, there have been times when I'm in over my head, but you know, the Lord prepares us for that kind of stuff, and He's placed me in over my head. He likes to do that because he likes to remind me that it's not something I can do, and I just mean in life in general. In a way, as things have happened, there's always been some preparing there from the Lord for me, in a sense that it was not overwhelming to the point of me going, "Whoa, I didn't, you know, this is not what I signed up for, Lord." It was never that. It was always, "I don't know how I'm going to handle this, so you're going to have to handle it, or you're going to have to help me, or, you know, what are we going to do?" So, and I don't, but in general, though, you know, I've never viewed my dad, this has a lot to do with my dad, because my dad really views having friends as a burden. And through his life, he slowly weeded out all of them. And so now he has no friends at all. I mean, he just, none. There's nobody he could call except me, you know, just family, some immediate family. And I've always, you know, not wanted to be that way. And I've always enjoyed friends. And even the bad part of having friends isn't, you know, the Lord's always just blessed me with, you know, that being endearing, not something that pushes me away, but something that draws me to them. And so there's that preparing of the Lord as well. So running this board, even though it's been times over my head, yes, and crazy, yes, but never seriously to a point where I would say it was a burden at all. Because it's not me, it's the Lord. So if it's a burden on anybody, it's a burden on Him.
Amen, and that's the way we should treat a lot of our lives.
Amen to that, but I got to go, guys.
Okay,
great talking,
Larry.
You.
Thanks for
Bye.
Joining us.
Larry,
okay,
it's been a pleasure as always.
And I think we've, even though it's not that long of a call, I think we've pretty much said all there is to say. I'm not trying to end it. If y'all have more to add, please go ahead.
I only have one more thought, but I want to let Larry have a chance before he runs.
Well, I thought he left.
Okay, then I'm going to run. and that is, the devil. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. So if there's a spiritual attack, it says to resist. Resistance is not necessarily fighting. You know, the underground resistance in France moved people. It did do some fighting, but it wasn't necessarily about fighting. It was about resisting. And when the attacks come, when the distractions come, when the circumstances in our lives look overwhelming, it's resist the temptation to give in to them, resist the temptation to look aside. It's continue to face Jesus. It's to continue to face the one who already won the battle and let him have his way in whatever's going on. And that is the only true way, in my opinion, to defeat the enemy, and that is just to stand your focus, and to not ever let go, you know, of the eye contact that you have with your Savior.
Amen.
Amen to that.
John, did you have something more?
I have nothing more to add.
I want you to record that and start.
Imagine that. Really?
I want you to use that instead of "I'm not going to say anything here."
It's so robotic. It is so funny because it's so robotic. I'm not going to say anything.
It is.
Oh, that's so funny. Robot Tim.
Thanks.
I'm not going to say a word here.
There you go. There you go. Now you got John saying it. Leave me alone. So plug your podcast and plug your site, Brad. Come on.
I'm just going to plug the community because it's a great place to go, and that's at mylifeministries.org. You guys, anybody listening to this that's not already a member of the community, come on by and meet some of these people that we've been visiting with tonight, and, you know, 10 or 20 more that are really open to being your friend. It's not a cliquish group. We had two new members this week that just got
sucked
know,
in.
Big, sucked in, right, exactly. So
inducted.
Even though it's, you know, it is getting to be a large community. It is still a very loving one. And people are more than willing to invest in each other and getting to know each other. So it just makes my heart glad to be a part of it. But thank you, Tim, and thank you, John, and thanks, Larry. Even though it's posthumous, what's that word? John, what's that word?
Not posthumously. He's not dead yet.
Posthumously.
Belatedly. Larry. Belatedly.
Belatedly.
Yes.
To Larry. Well, I meant posthumously. I just meant it funny. thanks, guys, and I'll be looking forward to the next Grace Junkie call.
Me too.
You bet.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.